Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 22. The book of Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter, fifth book of the Old Testament, chapter 22. We'll read just two verses, beginning in verse 23. Deuteronomy 22, beginning in verse 23. You ever stop and think what a beautiful sound it is to hear the sounds of Bibles opening? Deuteronomy 22, verse 23. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out under the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. Turn over to the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. The first verse of Deuteronomy 24 says, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. There may be some who are saying, you know, Pastor Phelps, those are not exactly the verses I expected on a Christmas Sunday morning. But these are very, very important verses for us to consider, for these, no doubt, were the verses that were being considered by Joseph. The Word of God tells us that Joseph was pondering what he should do prior to the birth of the Savior. If you understand the marital customs that were familiar to Joseph and Mary, you would understand his burden to ponder the Scriptures. The Israelite children often found themselves engaged. Their parents, after all, were very proactive in the task of finding the appropriate mate. And so it was not at all unusual for a child in Israel to be engaged. And then that child, as they came more of age, would be betrothed. Now, at the point of betrothal, a promise was made. That child, who perhaps had been engaged by the activity of parents, now stood forward and shared their own intent. No, more than that, shared their vow. And with that vow, as community would come together, sometimes a dowry was given. Often coins were exchanged as demonstrations of fidelity. Sometimes a marriage license, if you will, or a document would be written. And a party was entered into. And then the couple who had just given their marital vows separated, the groom having the responsibility of setting the house in order in preparation for that great bridal supper, that supper that the groom would provide as his house was in order and the marriage now would become consummated. The Bible tells us that Joseph and Mary were betrothed. Their vows had been taken. The typical time of betrothal, about 1 year, and suddenly Joseph, as he's preparing to take his bride, is dwelling on thoughts that he certainly never expected to cross his mind. You remember the story how that Mary had said to Joseph, I'm going to go visit my cousins, Zacharias and Elizabeth. They live in Hebron, which is just about 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. It would be a journey of some 60 miles for Mary. She leaves Joseph behind in Nazareth, where he's plying his trade as a carpenter and looking forward to the day when he would live with his wife. She's been gone for about 3 months. When she comes back, her appearance has changed. She is certainly more quiet. And then, in a moment that would bring to Joseph immeasurable pain and confusion and doubt, Mary confided in Joseph that she was with child. His worst fears were not unfounded. His beloved bride, with whom he had never lived, was with child. What would he do? Take your Bibles and go with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. How he must have read and reread, thought on and considered the text that we turn to this morning in the book of Deuteronomy. In the predicament that he was facing, he came to a conclusion. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 tells us of his conclusion. For the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He concluded that a writ of divorcement would be written, probably two witnesses who would come with that writ of divorcement, and it would be placed in her hand. Though the process would be brief, he knew it would bring to him a life of sorrow and a memory that would cut deep. He had decided not to shame her, but certainly to put her away. But while he thought on these things, the 20th verse tells us, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary as thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This is one of three meetings that Joseph is about to have with heavenly messengers. Nobody in all of the Bible meets with more angels than this man Joseph. Joseph is often called the silent partner in the incarnation. He is the original silent type. For not a word that Joseph ever spoken is recorded in the pages of God's Word. And yet he is introduced to us as a just man. His words are not recorded because his words are really not as important as his actions. You see, each time the messenger angels come to Joseph, Joseph responds in immediate, complete, personal obedience. And thus, he is given the name, a just man, in verse 19. This morning, I'd like to tell you how we know that Joseph was a just man. And I want to challenge you to be a just man or a just woman as well. For every time the messenger of God spoke to Joseph, Joseph responded to obedience. And as we focus on the messages that the angels brought to Joseph, we discover that those messages given so long ago are very apt for each of us this morning. What was it that these angels said to Joseph? We know that he responds with obedience, but what were the messages that he heard so long ago? I believe that as we consider these messages carefully, we find a key to really having a Merry Christmas this year. Come with me to Matthew chapter 1, where our Bibles are open, and listen in once again as if it was the first time to the angel as he speaks to Joseph, the man who has decided to put away his betrothed wife. As he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. What a particularly important phrase that is. Typically, when angels appear, the first words are, fear not. You'd be afraid too if an angel appeared before you. But not to Joseph. He's called here the son of David. And then the familiar, fear not. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. And he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. If I were to summarize the first message that Joseph received, I'd summarize that first message with three words. They would be these words: take him in. Take him in. Accept this virgin-born, incarnate Son of God into your home, into your heart, into your life. And Joseph, you've got to do it by faith. You too should hear the message of the angel this morning. For you too and I need to take him in. We need to accept Jesus Christ as our own. Joseph obeyed, the Word of God tells us. The Bible has introduced Joseph to us as a man weighing his options. What am I going to do, he's thinking, with Mary and with her child? That same question has been asked by mankind for generations. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Shall I believe in this record of a virgin birth? Shall I believe in this declaration of the incarnation of God Himself? Shall I believe the Word of God when it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? We beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Will I choose by faith to believe in the One who took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man? Only a direct divine communication with Joseph would calm his troubled heart. And so it was that the angel came and very clearly said, Joseph, that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. In order for Joseph to take Jesus in, he had some obstacles that he had to overcome. And you may have the same obstacles in your life. Let me explain. In order for Joseph to take her in, he had to overcome his profound doubts. He doubted the purity of his bride. For verse 18 tells us very clearly that this happened before they came together. He, no doubt, would have doubts about the veracity of the message that he's now receiving from heavenly sources. It's a virgin-born child. When I was in college, my freshman year, I had a roommate who was Palestinian. My Palestinian roommate wore his wedding band on his left hand. He was betrothed. They had cut the cake. The pictures had been taken. He was living as a single man, but he explained to us carefully that he was a married man. He sent letters regularly and phone calls that were quite expensive. I can't even imagine how my roommate Henry would have responded had he ever made a phone call and discovered that his betrothed wife had been unfaithful. That was the emotion that was swirling in Joseph. But Joseph took Jesus in, choosing to believe in the power of God to fulfill prophecy. And with God, shall anything be impossible? 700 years earlier, Isaiah had said, "For a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Unto us, Isaiah had said in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, a child is born. Why, that happens every day. But the next phrase doesn't happen every day. Unto us a son is given. This son was now given. And in the womb of Mary resting, and in the heart of Joseph that had been so filled with doubts, God is bringing the calm of faith. For you see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Sir, ma'am, perhaps you've come into this room this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior because it just seems, well, it seems impossible. It seems miraculous. Exactly. For the God who set this world in its order retains the right to step in and intervene. And the virgin birth is without question miraculous. For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That God was manifest in the flesh. And sir, ma'am, by your personal activity to somehow remove from your conscience the stains of sin, by your personal accomplishments, you will never please God. You will begin to please God when by faith you believe His record. And His record is found in the Word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Doubts. How many people are damned by their doubts? My dear friend, an Indian pastor, G.S. Nair, was lying in a tuberculosis hospital. After all, his first two names were names of Hindu gods. He was an esteemed officer in the Indian Army. His family represented a high caste, though we're not supposed to talk about those things, Indian family. And now he was in a tuberculosis hospital, and those missionaries, they just kept bringing the Bible and talking about Jesus. So he decided he knew what he'd do. He'd request a copy of the Bible and begin to read it on his own so he could debate effectively and shut those missionaries up. While reading in the book of Jeremiah, in the early hours of the morning, on one of his multiple trips through the pages of God's Word in order to debate, the Spirit of God met with G.S. Nair and convinced him that the record of God's Word was true. He heard from the Spirit of God that familiar voice, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow." Why, he had read the record of God's Word that says, "For all have sinned," and he remembered his sins. And he read that we've come short of the glory of God, and he recognized that in his flesh dwelt no good thing. And then he read, even what we consider this morning, that God would send His Son, born of a virgin, yes, truly flesh, but truly holy. The Lamb of God, you see, who alone could take away the sin of the world. The one who in eternity past was destined to die on the cross. "I come to do Thy will," He had declared. And so it was that born of a virgin, and placed in a manger, this one without sin grew. Our high priest, who knows the feelings of our infirmities, who was tempted at all points, just like we are, yet without sin, took upon himself our sin on the cross of Calvary. And he didn't stay there, did he? Praise God. Though buried and the stone sealed, he rose again. And the Spirit of God burned it into the heart of my friend as He can burn it into your heart this morning. He had to be virgin born. The only possible way that God could put together the salvation of mankind was for Him to take your sins and my sins upon His shoulders and nail those sins to the cross of Calvary. And so these doubts that plagued Joseph may be plaguing your mind this morning. Would you do this morning? If your heart is filled with doubts about the virgin birth, the resurrection, would you just pause right now and say, "Dear Lord, open the mind of my understanding. Help me to see it. I want to know You this morning." And the Word of God says, all who come to Him, He'll in no wise cast them out. Accept it by faith, and the doubts will go away. There's something else I find noteworthy in this text. Joseph had to move beyond the obstacle of physical desire. The 25th verse says, "He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son." Often those who take Jesus in by faith find bodily desires, physical compulsions, the lust of the flesh to be tremendous obstacles. There are those that I've talked to who will say, "I'll accept Jesus. I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll be a Christian when I get rid of Maybe it's the drink, or maybe it's the drugs, or maybe it's the immoral lifestyle. First, I'll clean up my act, and then I'll come to God. You'll never do it that way. The only way you can have the power to live a life that pleases God is to accept Him by faith, and the power of the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you. If you're here this morning and you say, I just keep stumbling and I just never seem to have success, well, you must accept Christ by faith. Joseph accepted the message of the angel, though he had to wrestle with physical desires. And say, did you notice that 20th verse where I pointed out that the angel began by saying to him, Son of David? As I read that verse, I'm reminded that Joseph not only had to get beyond his doubts and his desires, he actually had to let his dreams go by the wayside. Let me explain this to you. Look at that 20th verse. Joseph, thou son of David. The key to understanding the Gospel of Matthew is understanding the 20th verse of the first chapter. Son of David. You see, the Jews knew the seed line of the Savior. Genesis 3 and verse 15, God had met with Eve in the garden and had given to her a wonderful promise. When God met with Eve, He said, I will put enmity between thee and the serpent, speaking of Satan, between thy seed and his seed. Your seed, speaking to the woman, that child that will one day be born of woman will bruise his head, a mortal wound to the one who inaugurated sin. Destroyed by the seed of a woman. And then God met with Abram. And in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, God said to Abram, in thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed. That seed promise has moved from the breath of womanhood to the narrowness of the Jew. In Israel would all of the world be blessed, and God's going to focus in one more time that we would understand the seed line that is here revealed in Matthew chapter 1, that genealogy that is so important. For in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12, God spoke to David and said, I will set up thy seed after thee. I will establish his kingdom forever. So from the woman, the promise passes to Abraham. From Abraham, the promise passes to David. And in Matthew chapter 1, we pick up our Bibles and often we read by all of these funny names that make up the first chapter of the New Testament. But don't read by them too quickly. For every one of these names is a step in the direction of God providing for you and providing for me a Savior. A dear friend of mine was born to elderly parents. When his first child was born, it was a girl. And of course, they all rejoiced. His father had fought in World War II. His father was now quite elderly and not able to travel. And when their second child was born, he called and he said, Dad, we have a boy. And from the other end of the line, an old voice who had no grandsons was heard to say, Hallelujah! That's wonderful! That old granddad was rejoicing, because he'd been dreaming for a long time of an occasion that had just been fulfilled. When Jesus was born, he was born to Joseph. Joseph knew this genealogy that you find in Matthew chapter 1 very well. In fact, he could walk to the temple, and as he walked in the temple courts, he could see family trees inscribed in the temple courts. He could go back in his family tree and know. You remember Luke tells us that he had to go back to Bethlehem of Judah. He knew that he was of the tribe of Judah. He knew he was of the descent and the royal line of David. And now he's being told by an angel that the son who is going to claim the throne is not his physical son. There's a dream that is somehow becoming skewed in the mind of Joseph. this possible aspiration, could God do it? And will he do it through me? For Joseph has studied that genealogy and he knows well the claim. And people ask, was Joseph alive when Jesus died on the cross? Well, we don't see him there, do we? And I would say to you, absolutely not. He was not alive. For when Jesus came in on the day that they waved the palms at him, it was the day that Israel could receive her king. And he now was the only one with the claim and the only one with the possibility. But Joseph had to pass that along. There may be someone in this room this morning who says, you know, I just have a lot of things that I'd like to do before I trust Christ. I've got these personal dreams that I'd like to fulfill. And I understand from talking to Christians that there are a lot of responsibilities that come my way. Listen, you will never please the Lord until the Lord absolves you of your doubts and your desires and allows your heart to be moved so much as to understand that His directions are better than your dreams. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Joseph's personal dreams are put aside. No wonder the Spirit of God says he's a just man. The messenger angel came and said to him, take him in, accept him. And he immediately responded, I will. Dear friend, God is patient with us. Praise the Lord. Perhaps he's been knocking on the door of your heart for a long time saying, be saved. Take him in. You'll never know Christmas wonder like you can know it today if you trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, there's much that Matthew does not tell us as we turn the page from Matthew chapter 1 to Matthew chapter 2. You see, Matthew is all about telling us of the king. You have to go to Luke to read about the stable and the manger. The angels and the shepherd and the visits to the temple, all these things are told to us in Luke's narrative. All these things are missed in the record given to us by Matthew. But when we come to Matthew chapter 2, Matthew says in verse 1, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we're come to worship him. Look at verse 5. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And we come to the 11th verse. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee unto Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod shall seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Here we read the second visit of the angelic messengers. I'd like to summarize what they're saying to Joseph once again with three words. The words would be these. Take him out. Take him out. Don't stay there in Bethlehem any longer. You're to go now down into Egypt. God's will for Joseph and Mary has now been revealed to them. And God's will includes for Joseph and Mary to take the child Jesus into a place that's well beyond their comfort zones. God's will for them is to accompany the Savior into Egypt. Take him out. Dear Christian friend, would the Spirit of God be pleased this morning to speak to your heart about the Savior in the same way? Take him out. Take him to places that are unknown to you. It's doubtful that Joseph and Mary had ever been to this place called Egypt. A 50-mile trip from Bethlehem down into that place that had been a prison for their forefathers. This was not a place that the Jewish people looked at as a vacation resort. God may be talking to someone's heart in this room this morning with the same message that was delivered to Joseph and Mary long ago. And God is saying to you, take Jesus out. Take him to places that you've never been to before. Take him to people that you've never spoken to before. I have a friend who emailed me about 2 weeks ago from a country in Africa that he's visiting for the next several weeks. He's already been there a few weeks. He's wrestling with God's will in his life. He's 52 years of age. He's never been married. And he's in South Central Africa working with children who have survived the death of their parents who were taken by the AIDS plague. And he's been writing and saying, Chuck, pray for me that I'll know what God wants me to do. Let me tell you this. When God tells us to take the name of Jesus with us and to take Jesus out, His commission always comes with His provision. Did you see the 11th verse? They brought those familiar gifts, gold, speaking of Christ's deity, frankincense, speaking of His priesthood, myrrh, speaking of His death. God has said to us, take no thought what you shall eat. Those wise men brought provision that no doubt would be used by Joseph when he went down into Egypt. That gold would provide for his family. Those special spices with such significance would be all that was necessary for his family to go down and come back. I sat in my office a number of years ago with a young man who had just been called to missionary service. He was working as an insurance actuarial. He had a degree in mathematics from Texas A&M. He sat in my room and he said, Pastor Phelps, there's nothing on my heart that I want to do like bring the gospel to other people. I said, well, brother, if God's calling, He's going to provide. He said, I know He's going to provide. Little did I know that this man's next decision would be to put his house on the market, take every dime of equity that he had, go off to Bible college, and using that equity so his wife would not have to work, he finished his Master of Divinity in record time. And today he's living in a little village in Africa sharing the gospel. God provided. God provides for us when we go, and when God provides for us and sends us, we can guarantee this, He'll protect us. The 13th verse says, and when they were departed, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother to Egypt. Be thou there, I'll send word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The most dangerous place you can live is smack dab out of the center of God's will. Joseph chose to believe the message of God, and he experienced the provision and the protection that only God can give. My wife and I spoke as we came to church just a couple of weeks ago of a dear family that meant so much to her in her time as a young person. She still remembers the conversation that was heard as this young youth staff member was wrestling with the call of God in his life, and his wife said, we can't. And they didn't. And they've lost their children. No, they haven't lost them physically. They're physically alive, but spiritually, they don't walk with the Lord. We know the story how that Herod would have all of the babes in Bethlehem dead. But not this babe. This babe was being watched over by a father who was in the center of God's will, who was willing to go beyond his comfort zone into a culture unfamiliar to him. And his son, when grown, would say, I must needs go through Samaria. We are commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. How are we doing with that commission? Joseph never says a word. It's what he does that speaks. He goes to a place beyond his comfort zone. He experiences the provision and the protection of God. Dear friend, this morning, here's a Christmas message for all of us. For surely there's someone who needs to hear. There's some place where God wants to send you and wants to send me. Say there's a third time that the angel speaks to Joseph. It's found here in chapter 2 and verse 19. When Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream while he was in Egypt, saying, arise, verse 20, take the young child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother. Now remember, we read in verse 11, they came into a house in Bethlehem. No doubt you're familiar that with the fact that the wise men did not find him in a manger, they found him in a house. And note how carefully the Spirit of God has recorded it for us in verse 11. He's a young child. These wise men visited the young child Jesus in Bethlehem. Now Joseph is being told he can come back up out of Egypt. Where do you think he's going to want to go? Why, he's going to want to go back to Bethlehem. It's closer. He's going to want to go back to Bethlehem. He's had a house there. He's plied his trade there. And oh, by the way, all of the familiar people in Nazareth, you'll remember that when Joseph and Mary left, there was some murmuring about Joseph and Mary back up there in Nazareth. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, verse 22, in the realm of his father Herod, Archelaus was a butcher beyond the scope of Herod. Why, Joseph was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in the dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. He came and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. Can I summarize the last message for you this morning? The last message could be summarized this way. Take him home. Take him home. You've taken him in. You've taken him out. You've accepted him. You've accompanied him. Let me submit to you that this is perhaps one of the hardest messages that Joseph has ever received. Take him home. Well, I could be comfortable in Bethlehem. But the angel said no. And the plan of God was for Joseph to go home. Back to Nazareth. To those heads that would wag and those tongues that would tell tales. That would cause Mary's honor to be put upon and his own to be destroyed. That would even cause his son to grow up under the cloud of being called illegitimate. Take him home. They won't understand in Nazareth. They'll mock. Your friends that have been your friends from your childhood. But the revelation of God to Joseph was so clear. Take him home. How are you doing in telling your family members about the Lord? How are you doing in acknowledging him before them? Had you and I wanted to join Spurgeon's Tabernacle years ago, we would have first demonstrated our intention during a service. Pastor Spurgeon often met with the candidates, then passed them off to his brother or one of the other pastoral staff members or elders of his church. Those elders would meet with that person, hear their testimony, and then they would commission someone from the church to go to that person's home and workplace. People from the church would come to prospective members' workplace and they would ask, tell us about the testimony of this prospective member. They would go to their home. Tell us about the testimony of this prospective member. I don't know about you, but that sounds a little bit intrusive. But the expectation, you see, of the people of the tabernacle in London was any good believer is going to be talking about the Lord at home. Probably the most profound Christmas commission that's ever been given was given in Mark chapter 5, where the Lord met with the maniac of Gadara and he said to that maniac who wanted to accompany him, no, he said, go home. Tell your friends what great things the Lord hath done for you and how he's had compassion upon you. We started a new Christmas tradition in our home years ago. I hope we never weary of it. Before any present is open, we go around the room and we share in family circle when we came to know Christ as Savior. I want my children to grow up knowing when Dad and Mom were saved. I don't think my wife has ever gotten through that without tears. I know this, perhaps the most frightening place to speak about our faith is in the family circle. Well, what will Grandma and Grandpa think? Will we be disowned? The Lord said, if we fear to confess him before men, he'll not confess us before the Father which is in heaven. Joseph, thou son of David, take him in. Take him out. Take him home. Dear Christian, may this be a Christmas to remember because we've been true to the commission that the angel gave to Joseph. Will you stand with me, please, as we pray? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to look in your word this morning and be challenged by it. Lord, I pray that from Colonial Hills Baptist Church there would be a resounding song of joy as we take the name of Jesus with us. As we reflect on your goodness and allowing our hearts to be open to the gospel, help us, Lord, as seed scatterers to go out from this place to tell others. May we be just men. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one looking around. Joseph is called the silent partner in the incarnation. Not a word from Joseph recorded in the Bible. But let me say this, he being dead yet speaks. For without a word, his obedience spoke volumes. And would you hear the Spirit of God speaking to your heart this morning, sir? Take Jesus in. Accept him as your Savior. Move beyond doubts to a true understanding with eyes wide open that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And would you hear, ma'am, sir, the message of Christmas? Take him out to a place even like Egypt, beyond your comfort zone, trusting in the promises of the provision of God and his protection. Would you take him home this year to that family circle and let those loved ones know that you love him best of all? Our instruments are going to play number 223, and I'm going to ask Pastor Roshi to sing that song for us as our invitation this morning. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown. As they play this morning, I'm going to come down front here, and if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and you want to be saved, why don't you come and meet me here? There may be a Christian who needs to come and on bended knee say, I want to pray and make a commitment that this Christmas I'm going to obey the message of the angels to me to take Christ home, to take Christ out, to be a faithful witness. Now, folks, we can make decisions in our seats, and I trust we will. But if you're here and you want to accept Jesus as Savior this Christmas season, this very morning, won't you come and let us have the privilege of taking you to a private place and showing you from the Bible how you can go to heaven?